With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Oh, no, you were laughing then, Joel. Do you sing Joker?
No, I haven't.
I saw it last night. Absolutely brilliant.
Is it really?
Yes, I loved it.
I've seen lots of mixed opinions online.
The ones that say negative, well, they can have their opinion.
Good.
Absolutely allowed. But I really enjoyed it, Joel. But I do enjoy films, even ones people say are bad.
Yeah.
And normally, I don't enjoy the ones people say are good.
Yeah, so maybe don't listen to your opinion.
Don't listen to my opinion, or listen to my opinion and then go to cinema and form your own opinion.
That's good advice.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast that everyone's talking about, Joel. I thought I might have a slightly different intro.
It's good.
Everyone's talking about it. It's a podcast where I chat to...
Some people are saying nice things.
They are, yeah. And some people... No, they all are.
Yeah, they all say nice things.
So, it's the podcast where I chat to other comedians, Joel, about jokes that they can't get to work. Joel's here, producer Joel.
Hey.
Bit of a different intro this week, Joel.
Yeah, it's really thrown
me. Especially if you keep in the bit about Joker at the beginning. That might be quite nice, actually, to go talk about that, and then suddenly I just kick into the intro.
Yeah, maybe fun. That will be nice, bit but fun. I'm the producer here, so...
Yeah. So yeah. You make your decision. That is what we're learning from today's podcast, is people are allowed their own opinions.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what's come up quite a lot already, Joel.
It has. Or has
three
it?
Three times.
Or it hasn't.
It depends how much you keep in.
Yeah.
But that is up to you, because you are entitled to your own opinion.
Thanks, Mark.
On what is best for
Thanks,
a podcast.
Mark.
Anyway, last week, we had Tape Face. Brilliant episode.
Great
lots
episode.
Of feedback. Loads of feedback about one particular element. Can you guess what that element was, Joel?
The brand of Sellotape best used for muffling someone.
Nope, because I think his answer was so...
It was very in-depth, yeah, and he knows better than anyone else.
But I don't think anyone needed to know any more about
it. And also, if you emailed in a podcast saying, in my experience, taping up someone's face, you'd report them to the police, wouldn't you?
You would, yeah. I did. So the main thing was about his problem he had with one bit where he wanted to get across to the other person. So he gets an audience member up,
yeah.
And he wanted to basically tell them what to do.
Yeah.
But... sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. He wanted to work out the exact way. Lots of people had lots of ideas about this.
Okay.
Some of them rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them quite good.
All right.
Best one, promoter and comedian Ryan Mould.
Yeah. Mouldy.
Mouldy. Don't know what that is. he said, just a thought, with scrunching up the paper bit, that's the bit we were just talking about, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about. Could they sign a terms and conditions on stage to take part in it? And then, on that terms and conditions that they're signing and reading, could be the instructions nice and clear.
That is quite a good idea. But how long, it depends how long
you
it takes.
Say, I'm surprised that Mouldy had a good idea then.
No, I'm not surprised.
Mouldy!
I'm just surprised that I'm excited by terms and conditions.
No, but I think that would work. And that would be quite funny as well, I think, if you're actually visually getting someone to sign it.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well done, Ryan. I mean, I don't know if Tape Face has seen that. Oh, hashtag Awooga.
Is that what Ryan included?
Yeah.
And a wooga to you too, Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, that's quite a cool little thing that we're claiming. Oh, and we had a few. Well, this sort of spiraled out of control a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Michael. I've forgotten we did this. The Michael McIntyre scandal headlines.
Yep.
we got quite a few people sent in their own.
So we were doing puns on Michael McIntyre's names as though he'd got into different scandals and they were in tabloid newspapers, weren't we?
We were. And, you know, check out... I mean, I'm sure you've all heard last week's episode, so we don't really need to tell you that. So here's one from Mike Cox, comedian. He becomes so wealthy, he buys his own county. Michael McIntyre. Not even a... Well, it could be controversial if... I mean, yeah, someone buying a county
it
is quite
would, I think it'd be quite controversial, yeah.
Yeah, that would be, wouldn't it? There's Matt Bragg, another comedian. Comedians get involved, love it. Oh, I didn't 100% understand this one, and that might make me sound stupid.
Okay.
He goes bust, can't afford funeral costs, right? Community comes in together, builds a giant bonfire to cremate him on. Michael Muck in Pyre.
Okay, so they've all mucked in.
Yeah.
Which means to chip in.
Yeah.
And a pyre is like a bonfire that you burn someone on.
The pyre was my problem.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But I kind of guessed that's what it meant.
Yeah. Well done.
My problem with that is he goes bust and can't afford funeral costs. It's weird by saying he can't afford it because when you're dead...
What do you care?
You don't think about he can't afford it because you think that was as being a live thing. Yeah. But thanks for joining in, Matt. Good guy, Matt Bragg. Good comedian.
Cool.
Up and comer.
Good.
Book him.
I will.
Yeah, not you. You don't run any gigs, Joel. Okay, well, that's that. Let's do another one this week. I think that could be a nice little fun bit. We're doing loads in this intro, but I think people like the intro, Joel.
Let us know. Hashtag Awooga.
Hashtag Awooga. This week, name a comedian.
You name a comedian.
Famous one. Mickey Flanagan.
Yeah, Mickey Flanagan.
Mickey Flanagan. So what's Mickey Flanagan got done?
Mickey Flanagan keeps eating... no, Mickey Flanagan eats a sandwich.
Yeah.
But he eats it. Remember when Ed Miliband ate it and he got it all over his face?
Yes.
Well, he didn't actually. He just ate a bacon sandwich and pulled a face. Well, Mickey Flanagan gets it all over his face. And it's, in a pickle, Mickey Branigans. And he's had cheese and pickle. Because Branigans is a brand of pickle, isn't it?
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Fair enough. He keeps cheating on his wife.
Oh my god.
He keeps cheating on his wife.
Does he?
The thing is, I don't know if he's married, so no. I'm assuming he is. And he's done it the fourth time. Mickey Flanagan.
Oh, well, I was gonna say he keeps going to get custard tarts.
That's a good one.
Flanagan.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Mickey Flanagan at Jokes with Mark, all of your Mickey Flanagan dodgy headlines. And hashtag Awooga to you all. anything else, Joel? What else is going on?
You've got some big news.
Have I got some big news?
You're going to be on the television.
Oh, yes.
BBC Primetime.
Yeah, that got announced. Not the week. Yeah, that got announced since we did the last one of these.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I wasn't expecting that to get announced, actually. It is exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Did people tweet you saying well done?
They did, actually. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, really nice. Yeah, that's all I can say really about it. Very nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to watching it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Joel.
I'm going to laugh and tweet enthusiastically about it.
Thanks. I think everyone that listens to the podcast should do that.
They should. They should all tweet the official Mock the Week count, just the word Awooga when you're on screen.
Awooga. Everything I say.
Yeah.
So maybe three times.
three Awoogas.
Ah, cracking. Let's crack on with this episode. That was a lovely chat.
I've had enough then.
No, I've had enough. No, that was a really nice chat.
It was a good chat. It's nice to chat, isn't it?
It is nice to chat. It's nice to do it once a week, have friends, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, colleagues. Yeah. So Matt Richardson. Yeah, that's great. I hadn't gigged with Matt Richardson for years. And then we gigged over quite a lot recently, which is good. Yeah. Very, very funny. So, I can't actually remember. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, we recorded it a few weeks ago, and I remember the podcast being good. Because I think I texted you saying, it's a good one.
Yeah, you did. So, I said, leave me alone.
Oh, you don't mean that.
Come on, let's get on with it.
Okay.
I was in Soho in a club, I suppose, like a members-y club where people like that hang out. And a Doctor Who was in the toilet, and I was waiting to use the loo. And he came out of the toilet, this person that was in Doctor Who, with several friends. in the same cubicle.
Yeah.
And as he walked out, I was drunk and obviously compulsively trying to be funny all the time. So as he walked out, I went, fucking hell, mate, it's like the TARDIS in there. And he obviously told me to fuck off because I'd caught him out being untoward in a toilet.
So that's really funny. And like, I was just, so straight away I said, have you ever done that as a bit?
Yeah.
But obviously you couldn't, because when you told me, actually, where you set that up, you said, we were talking about the actor. And he told me to go fuck myself once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you told the story ending with the line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I think is a good way of setting that up by saying, he once told me to go fuck myself.
And then you end with the line.
Rather than do the line and then say told me to go fuck myself, because the punchline is the line, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you'd never done that because obviously you can't out someone for doing drugs
or having sex with people in toilets
or sex.
We don't know which one it is. Yeah. But they're the only reasons you go into toilets with several other people.
Yeah, yeah. So then I was just thinking to myself, would that work if you just said I saw a Doctor Who actor? Obviously, if you set it up by going I saw a Doctor Who actor, I can't tell you who it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But they told me to go fuck myself and then do the bit.
Yeah,
does that seem too contrived? Because that's your sort of style, isn't it? You do sort of, it's just a natural...
Yeah, I do just tell stories of things that's happened. But also, like, my only hesitation with it is, do people go, we don't want to hear about you seeing famous people?
Right.
I don't know if that's a thing. Like, I don't like...
Because you're not name dropping, it's not as...
Because it's not like, oh, guys, I was at this really cool party. I was at the BAFTAs or whatever, which isn't where it happened. But, like, you just go, I just saw this thing once.
Yeah. And then are the audience thinking too much about who it is afterwards or as you're doing it?
You know what? I think there's a really nice thing when I love comics who tease and go, this thing happened. I can't tell you what company it is. Yeah. Or I can't tell you what person it is, but this happened.
Yeah.
And then they sort of like tease and give a few little quotes. Matt Ewins used to have an amazing joke, which kind of totally deconstructed that. We went, look, I used to work for this insurance company and I'm going to tell you this thing that happened there. And I'm not allowed to tell you who it is, but let's just say backwards, it's Aviva.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is such a beautiful joke. Yeah, and I really like that. Like, I can't really say, because I really like comics going, like, I can't tell you who it is. I can't, oh my God. Because I think that has a really nice bit of jeopardy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe it could work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know I'm going to try it.
You should do.
I'm going to try it on Saturday.
It's a funny lie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also it's funny if the fact that you say they told you to fuck yourself. So the joke's on you that you're always on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not always, when you're mixing with, I mean, you consider Doctor Who actor top level fame, wouldn't you?
Or, yeah, but I think in this country, at least, they're pretty famous.
Yeah, so you're the underdog a little bit there.
Yeah, yeah, it depends which one it is, though, because like some of them haven't gone on to much else, but some of them are really famous, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it could be Sylvester McCoy.
It could be. And that's actually funny if he told you to go fuck yourself.
And also if he's in the toilet doing loads of drugs. Like, that's quite a funny image.
Yeah, yeah. Or if it's Jodie Whittaker, you're in the wrong toilets.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I am. Or I'm just, I'm really progressive.
Let's just say it's not her.
It's not Jodie Whittaker.
100% not her. Yeah. Now people are thinking it is her.
It is.
It's not her.
It isn't her. But it could
Shall
be
Shall we just go through
McCoy?
All the ones it isn't?
That is another way to do it.
Yeah. Because I had, so basically, I when I was a bit younger, I knew, before I did a comedy, I knew someone who's gone on to be very famous.
Okay.
And I had a bit about that person, I just came forward of a joke and it's linked to me knowing that person.
Yeah.
But I didn't ever want to say who it was.
Okay.
So I did try it. But like you said, by saying, I'm not going to tell you who it is, because I genuinely don't want to say who it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the whole time, even though the joke was good, that was outweighed by them just thinking,
who is it?
One, who is it? And yeah, so so it never really worked. I feel like you need a really big bit or lots of jokes to make it worthwhile to get over that hump.
Yeah, I think so.
But with a one-liner, I think it was like, it's too quick to the joke and they're still thinking, oh, I wonder who that is.
I think definitely with your kind of like a punchy joke. Also, maybe that's the kind of thing I think that works if you've got 30 or 40 minutes with them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's much better than, say, if you're doing like, you can't do it in the first 10 minutes. You really have to get people on board to then talk about stuff like that. Like, I've tried to do things of like, when I was on The X Factor, I had like a story about that, about something that happened there. And it never worked because people are just like, you're just talking about famous people.
Really? That's all that's happening. Do you think people switch off?
Yeah, I do think people...
Because I also think that people are interested when, as soon as you mention
so,
this famous
So, it's the
people.
Kind of story, it, like, I would... It's one of those things that I go, this will one day be a great chat show story, right. But it'll never work as stand-up.
Yeah.
And I've always sort of felt that. And I think some people can talk about it. Like, I think John Bishop talks about being in that famous world really well, and Mickey Flanagan does.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've both got that element of boy done good.
Working class.
Yeah, working class, boys done good. Even though, like, John Bishop isn't, he's a middle class guy.
Yeah.
But he's got that sort of backstory to him. Mm. And I think that means you're then qualified to go and go, look at this world I've ended up in and how crazy it is.
And they've also got the accents and from places where it's
that
considered...
isn't normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a major difference. I think like if you and I do it, it's just two like white guys who are from the South anyway.
Yeah.
And not from like an area that people consider, oh, well, you've really clawed your way out of that to the big time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Whereas I think they do it really well. And John Bishop, I remember once watching John Bishop, and I really like him and I think he's good, but he did this whole story about going on a night out with James Corden and Robbie Williams.
Right.
And basically the punchline was they got papped, right? Which is, when you think about it, like a mental thing to be able to talk about on stage
to
a room full of people where that isn't a normal thing to happen. Mm. But the punchline was basically, you know, Robbie Williams, James Corden and Bez from the Happy Mondays. And that was the punchline, that he looks like Bez, and they thought he was Bez.
So it was it's a classic opening joke of any comic.
It's basically, I know what you're thinking, Bez scrubs up well, but he sort of framed it in this whole other way.
Wow.
And like he totally got away with it and totally worked. But I don't think...
So I guess that's people's intrigue in the famous sort of world. Because like when you was just saying it, I was thinking, I think I would have thought audiences would be interested in that. But... like maybe comics would go,
I think comics would, but I think also audiences, and I think also like you have to acknowledge that John Bishop is incredibly famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I am not famous like that. And like, you know, I've been on, I'm on stuff, but I'm not. And I think so people go, because a lot of people that come and see you will be like, well, I don't know who you are.
So basically John Bishop isn't name dropping because he is of
that world. Because he's of that ilk. Whereas people are going, well, you're just trying to tell us that you've met famous people.
That's it. You've nailed it.
Yeah, and I think it's that. I think if you're super famous, they go, well, of course you exist in that world.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're at a gig where they're going, yeah, like, I think I've seen him, but like, I don't know where.
Yeah.
And then you're going, oh, so me and Sharon Osbourne. And they're like, all right, mate, like,
chill out.
It's just a bit, all right, you don't need to really hammer it home.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think that's it. I think the audience feel like you're trying to.
Yeah. What was that story?
Oh, God. It's basically Sharon Osbourne just used to always ask me on camera if I like licking out girls, like constantly.
What?
Like she was absolutely mental. Like she's mental. She's brilliant. And she's like one of the funniest people I've ever met. And she's just always just asked me all these like really inappropriate questions on live television, just to try.
Live?
And, like, yeah, live and like pre-recorded. Like the first time I ever met her, that's the first thing she ever asked me. And I went, and she went, the fact you hesitated makes me think you don't. And like there's all these mad things she used to do.
What's her go with that?
No, I think she's just trying to make you feel awkward because she thinks it's hilarious.
And because you were young then as well.
I was like 22, so like, I was a young, like gawky guy, and which I'm still a gawky guy, but it was just all these things that she used to do. And I think... like, you just go, oh, God, yeah. And I had another story about, I genuinely once asked Simon Cowell for my P45 at an awards do. And like, I thought that was really funny because I obviously got fired from that show. And it just means that like, people are just
when did you ask that though?
Like about 6 months after I left, I saw him quite drunk at the end of like the Pride of Britain.
Right,
and I was
hi
Simon, nice to see you. So I had my P45 through, and he was just like, what? And I was like, of course you don't know what a P45 is because you're so minted now.
Yeah.
That's so in the past for you. But like things like that, I think people just aren't interested unless you are of the same level of the people you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's quite weird, isn't it? Like I've seen comics talk about those kind of things. Like, you know, Sean Walsh has just done a whole show about a media storm, but that was so public.
Met him the other day and I was just saying to him, because I saw the show, I thought it was really amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it takes it to the next level when the whole world know that what he's talking about is true.
Yeah.
Because with stand-up, half the battle is trying to convince everyone what you're saying is real.
Yeah.
Whereas if everyone is already on board and they know that's happened...
I had a really weird experience in Edinburgh in that I was doing my show one day and a girl walked out. And I'd met her just before the gig because she worked at the bar in my venue.
Yeah.
And she walked out the gig. And then about 2 days later, I was in the bar and she was like, oh, I was in your show the other day. And I went, oh, yeah, you walked out. And she went, do you want to know why I walked out? And I went, absolutely not. No, I couldn't care less. And she's like, but do you not want to know what you did wrong? And I'm like, no, because I didn't do anything wrong. It's just you didn't like me. And that's not an issue. Like, you're allowed to not like me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she kept trying to, like, talk justify. About it. And I was like, look, you think your opinion matters because of Twitter and things. It really doesn't. I have a lovely life whether you like me or not.
Yeah,
and that's what I feel with an audience. If an audience don't get on board, I just think, well, like, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and I've done enough like reality TV spin-offs and things where people hate you for just talking, like interviewing singers. So I'm just like, it's like, so an audience not liking me is fine these days. Mm-hmm. But it's really weird. Like, because you then go, oh, I'm going to go and try this. I'm going to be great at this gig because I can do these proper gigs. And actually, those gigs are harder, I think.
Ah, 100%.
Gigs get easier the more you do comedy because you get to do nicer and nicer things.
I remember once, I can't remember who it was, when I was really new. And it was the exact opposite to what you just said. So I was in the other position. I was a new act and I was doing all right on the open mic. And then this act came on and he really struggled. He's very confident, but really struggled. And I thought, this guy's rubbish. And then I saw him on the on a poster for like maybe something like the Comedy Store or a good club like that. And in my head, I was like, how the hell's that bloke doing that?
Yeah.
But now I understand that he is good. Like, but it was just, it was playing a crap gig doing comedy that works in clubs, but in cool little trendy open mics, like they're not going for it
because
it's not weird enough or it's not edgy enough or
it's really weird, isn't it? Like, I think, and there was a point where I used to do, when I first started, I used to do loads of Mirth Control gigs, which obviously, you know, in the West Country are like some of them used to be really nice, but a big chunk of them were really tough gigs. Mm. And I did loads of those for ages. And I got really good at those gigs. Mm. So I used to go on at those gigs and I used to have a brilliant time because I was doing them all the time. And people that were headlining them who weren't doing them as much would really struggle because you can learn to do a bad gig well.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing bad gigs all the time anymore, like, you know, like we do like real clubs, say, or, you know, solo shows or whatever, then it becomes much trickier to go back and do them. Like, I would now go into a pub gig in Froome and I'd probably really struggle.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you get sharp for that sort of gig.
Absolutely. It's like, each kind of gig's a different muscle, I think, that you work out. And when you leave a muscle alone, you don't get very good at it. Mm. Like, I think Edinburgh's a whole other ball game, and Edinburgh's different to doing a show on tour. Yeah. Like, I find a show on tour much easier than doing Edinburgh because I don't do Edinburgh every year. And it's just a whole different crowd and what they want is different. So, you know, by the end of Edinburgh, like, I'm like, right, I can do that. And then I leave it for 3 years and then I get crap at Edinburgh.
But also you get into that zone and you come back to clubs and again, it's a different vibe. So then you have to readjust.
Like, two years ago, I came back from Edinburgh and I did a club and I was only doing like 15 minutes and I was like, right, I'm going to smash this. I've had a really good Edinburgh. I feel really good. And I absolutely, like, it's probably still the worst, my most recent worst death. Like, I've died since.
Yeah.
But that was the worst. Like, stuff that, like, genuinely, like, after a punchline, like, someone would cough. Like, one of those, like, not even a titter from the audience. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I really need to readjust how I do this as a thing. And at the same time, like, when I first started doing paid stuff, I did loads of Jonglers for a while, like, pretty much like, every other weekend.
Yeah.
And I got this little gig that was a.... And I compared them as well. I did loads of comparing at Jonglers. Mm. And then I got this little monthly residency gig in Oxford at an art centre. And it was a gorgeous art centre with two acts doing 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. And I used to bomb every month.
Really?
Because I was doing Jonglers and I was comparing it
like
a Jongler. So I'd come out way too hot and just kind of like, you know, be like, bam, bam, bam.
Oh, it's an art centre. Yeah.
And whereas they wanted Brett Goldstein doing 45 minutes of a really fascinating story.
Yeah.
Not me going, oh, well, you look like a bell end anyway. And I just had to really rethink what I did every month when I got there.
Because
I was so, like, I was sharp for Jonglers because that's what I was doing all the time. And I wasn't sharp for lovely little arts.
This is one of the things I quite like about the job is that you'd never quite know what you're getting. So it's a skill you have to, you know, keep your wits about you.
And I think also it's that skill of going, of just really, like, for me, I think once you get to a certain level, the skill isn't like what you write or how you are on stage. Mm. It's going, right, which one of the 25 ways I can do this? And like those 25 ways are so subtle.
Yeah.
The differences of, right, I'm in an art centre on a Tuesday, not a club on a Saturday. Like, how am I going to broach, especially a lot of my stuff is like, I'm pretty rude.
Yeah.
And like, how do I get them on board with me being really rude in this room
yeah.
before I hit that? And like, because I'm not doing, you know, a rowdy club. And I find that is, for me, is what makes it interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing I still love about it, is that it's like a puzzle each gig.
Mm.
And you're like, right, how do I have to be at the top? And then how do I have to ease in? Or do I just go straight in at this gig? And yeah. I love that.
So if I'm doing some ruder bits in a gig that's kind of, we're full of, let's say, nice people. It's like, I kind of, before I do it, I tell them that's what I'm going to do. Like, in a cheeky sort of, by the way, I'm going to probably go do a few ruder bits later. I hope you're right with ruder bits.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Rather than just go out with the C word. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you just, otherwise they get shocked. Whereas if you ease them in, I find that they.
Yeah, I think everyone, I agree with that. I always go out, unless it's like a, you know, a weekend, I always just go out and go, this is all willies and fannies, just so you know, there's nothing big or clever in this.
Yeah.
It's just jokes about penises. And yeah. then they go, okay, cool. Well, we know now. And it's sort of that thing of, you're not asking for permission, but you are almost going, look, this is what it is.
Yeah. And they're all adults. That's what you got.
Absolutely.
That's why you can do that stuff in front of most people, because yeah. they're all adults. They've all had sex.
Yeah, they've all had sex. Everyone poos. Everyone does.
This is
all
why
that.
I found when I won. I think I told this story on the podcast before about a cruise I did. But
you did a cruise?
Yeah, yeah, I did two.
How was that?
Terrible. Like, it was fine, but no, I died once and I hid until. So I got up for breakfast at like 6 in the morning.
There's not like a separate place for you to eat or anything,
no,
is there?
No, no, no. And it was really weird because the first gig went well and I had lots of people going, oh, well done, good comedian. And then I did badly in one, which was billed as... So one was in a theatre.
Yeah.
Beautiful theatres on these boats.
Oh, they're like amazing.
And then I did one in like a bar, which was billed as adult comedy. Now, I don't do adult comedy, but in the theatre shows, you're not allowed to swear. But in that one, that basically means I could swear.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
really anyway. So, but they no. were going expecting Jim Davidson-esque stuff. And I was just doing my stuff.
So and almost it'd have been better if it was billed as just friend, like
yes.
Clean comedy.
100%.
Like so you'd have had a better one. So that worked against you in the other way.
Yeah. So oh, absolutely so died.
Because they're going, right, this is it. Gloves are off. Yeah, he's going to say what he really thinks about all the minorities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they're also all of that age where they grew up with dodgy comedy.
Yeah.
So that's what they're wanting. And then I had to go walk around. Like in one day, I went from everyone going, hey, there he is. Hey, it's the comedian. To like, don't make eye contact with him.
Yeah, that's awful. That's horrible. Yeah,
really
and
horrible.
I think those like, they're fascinating.
Yeah, so that was my point I was going to get, sorry, is that that's why I find it weird that these people, you're not allowed to swear in front of them or do anything rude. But it's like, they were in the war or something.
Yeah.
They've had more sex than me because they've been around so much longer.
Yeah.
Like, why can't... That's
but
so it's, weird.
It's that psychology of what we've been promised. So
yeah.
if you tell people this is a clean comedy show and they don't... Even if there are no children in there or anything,
yeah.
if you tell them it's clean and then it isn't clean, they get really upset, I think.
And they like complaining.
And they love a complaint. Whereas if you go, there's going to be swearing, there's going to be
true,
sex,
actually.
Then they go, all right, fine.
They spend so much money on these cruises. Because there are a lot of people, old people, complaining about the restaurant and... They're constantly, like, it's one time, I was just, people are so miserable. Like, they were I saw that there's this beautiful view out of the window, and then they're all just sitting around this table moaning about the food. I'm like, look at where you are. Like, it's like
the food's good considering it's being cooked in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
I really find that. And you know what? It's a really weird thing. Like, I had a woman. So the Tonic gig in Camden, just the Tonic Camden.
Yeah, you do that regularly.
I compare it like once every 6 weeks or something. I do it quite a lot. And it can be really nice. Like when we did it together, it was lovely,
right,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it can be quite tough as well.
Right.
But I did it one night. It might have been when you were on, actually. And a woman messaged me on Facebook complaining about the fact it was three men on the bill and that the gig had a real male energy.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, very often that gig, they do try and book the bills as diverse as possible, but it's, you know, the supply yes, of female
who's
comics
available, and
you can't, not every gig in the country can have you know, a female act or an act you know, that, you know, of a different, of a non-binary or something like that,
yeah.
Because there just aren't enough at the moment. Like, that's the problem needs, yeah, to be addressed at the bottom level first for it to then even out,
yeah.
And she went, and I went, and also, like, I don't book the gig.
Yeah.
And she went, no, I don't imagine you did book the gig, but because you were comparing, I just felt it was a point that you needed to know. And I just replied back going, with all due respect, I absolutely don't.
Yeah.
Like, but she, this woman obviously just, like, and the gig was really good that night. Everyone had a really good gig. No one was offensive. No one was, like, sexist or anything like that on the bill, because you just don't get that
also,
really anymore.
All the bills at lineup is in advance. So she's booked tickets. She can look, yeah, to see who's on.
Absolutely. And I just think, like, and I was just like, what happened there was she wanted to complain.
Yeah.
She went going, there's going to be something that's going to upset me tonight. And no one did anything edgy or anything like that.
No.
So a real male energy was like the thing that was left to complain about. And I think certain people just, yes, certain people just don't want to like stuff.
Yeah.
If it's a cruise or if it's something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've just got to accept that sometimes that's going to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, any bits that you've come up with over the years that you're a bit annoyed that you can't get to work?
Yeah. So I've got this bit that I won't let them die. So, like,
yeah,
I'll leave them for like a year or two, and then I'll come back to it. So I've got a bit about massages, about going for a massage.
Okay, I've just written some bits about massages.
Have you?
So this might link in. Okay.
I just can't get, and it's about going for a Thai massage. I went to this Thai massage in King's Cross. Which sounds really dodgy, but it was one of the most harrowing, painful experiences of my life.
Yeah, we saw Dick after.
Oh, like, yeah, really, like, I mean, like, it was red raw. Like, you know what? There's so much thing as too much ending, too much happy. But it was like, this woman beat the living shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole thing, and she was this...
We're talking, like, about a normal massage, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah, a normal, okay, massage, so, yeah. But she just really, and like, every time, like, she put her knuckle in different parts of me. And
that's funny.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah. But she put it in my armpit, and I thought I was going to faint. Like,
yeah, well, that's where you got your pressure points in there.
Yeah, and like, but she'd do it, and then she was laughing at me because, like, she kept going, "Oh, you're a wimp." Like, that's all she said for the whole massage. And I kind of built this whole thing about, you know, when you got your face in the hole and all this, kind of like an observational thing about massages. And I just can't get it to work. But I think it's such a fun. And also I think massages are an inherently funny thing.
Yeah,
because I don't think massages are nearly as good as we all pretend they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like, we all go for massages and we're like, oh God, they're so relaxing. But then you're in a massage, and my problem with massages is, like, the thing that makes me not relaxed is me.
Right.
Like, and a massage is just me in my own head for an hour.
Yeah.
And, like, and then panicking about going, oh God, like, I don't want to be in a... And I'm so worried about being around people that, like, being around a stranger who's touching your body... Like, and how to, like, the social way you react about that,
yeah,
I think is a funny thing. And I just can never get it to click. And so, I don't know if it's because what I'm talking about is not good enough or not.
So with that, yeah, I've got lots of things I was going to say then. So, yeah, look at things get kind to me. So, like, maybe So it's a Thai massage, but are you not, you're not talking about a happy ending, in it?
No. It's a
I think maybe that throws people initially, because as soon as you say Thai massage, they think that's where you're going. So you could just say a sports massage.
Yeah,
a little...
I think, but also like with the Thai one, I used to have a thing of, I go in and it was like this little Thai massage place and it was quite nice, but like I go in as a guy in my 20s and I'm like, hello. And I like, I don't want them to think I want to be wanked off. So like I going acting like, hello, really, I'm here for my massage. Like going,
but the way you say that,
and the way you say that makes it look like you want to be wanked off. And it's like, and I kind of tried to talk about that balance of like, how do you make it clear you don't want to be wanked off?
That's funny.
Without looking like, because I think as soon as you go, I don't want the happy ending, they go, we don't, why are you even mentioning the happy ending?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really,
we're not
funny,
one of those places.
Yeah, I think that's really funny. And also, yeah, like, yeah, that whole thing of in a massage going like,
because also, panicking, when you said the massage first, it was like you were doing it in inverted
massage. I'm just going, massage. I'm just really concentrating on the fact that it's a massage that I want, nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not winking. I'm just going, I'd like a massage, please. And they're like, well, he clearly wants more than a massage. And I think it's never quite worked. It's always, and I keep coming back to it thinking, well, in a year, I'll be a better comic.
Yeah.
And like, and I've got a couple of bits like that over the years that I've kind of left and come back to and they've worked.
Maybe the angle of like, because like whenever I've gone for a massage, I've always had sports massage, which is always meant to be painful.
Yeah.
And you, I feel relaxed afterwards because I was so tense. But I've never gone for a, like a normal relaxing one, like an like with the aromatherapy and all that. So maybe that's quite funny, the difference between those two. Like if you wanted a normal massage, but you ended up with one of these ones where they stick their elbows in.
And she walked on me and I was just like...
Did she do that?
Yeah, she walked on me and everything. It was, you know, and afterwards you feel $1 million afterwards. But like at the time, it's just like, this is the worst hour of my life.
She's walking all over you.
And also, I just think, I had a massage years ago and I kind of fell asleep during it. And when I woke up...
Is there something funny if she says head in hole, and then you're like, no, I don't want that.
No, yeah, exactly that.
That's funny.
But also I think there's that thing of, I also think it's funny that like I've had like massages over the years and I fall asleep all the time.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, if I was the masseuse and they fell asleep, I'd just be like, right, might as well leave this for 20 minutes. And like I've gone for a massage, fallen asleep straight away, and then at the end they've just gone, okay, and that's you done. And I've got no idea if I've had a massage or not. They could have just rubbed a bit of oil on me. But I had one years ago. And I fell asleep, and when I woke up, the woman went, okay, that's you done. She goes, just so you know, I found a little blockage in your bowel, and I've made sure that will pass the next time you go to the toilet. And
really?
I was just like, so she like just massaged my shit out of me.
From the back?
No, from the front. Like, really? I was on my back, yeah. And I was just like, and afterwards I was like, I don't know how I feel about that, that she's gone...
But she knows you need a shit.
But the fact is she's gone, but she's found it and gone, well, I can fix this. Like, which I think's really, I think there's so much about massages that are really funny.
Yeah.
Because it's not a normal thing.
And someone's just rubbing you.
Yeah, and it's this thing of like, oh, it's such a treat. And you're like, is it a treat?
Yeah.
Or is it just really fucking weird?
Stressful.
So I'm trying to get that to work. And I do come back to it every so often.
So when you've tried that, So there's so many different angles you've just pointed out
that I've thought of, and I just can't kind of, I can't.
So
like,
are any of them any bits that you're like, well, that always gets a laugh when I try it, but you haven't got enough to.
No, you know what? It was one of those where sometimes I did it loads of times, and a few times it really worked, but it didn't work more than it worked.
Right.
And I don't know why, and that's what's annoyed me about it. I can't quite figure it out.
Yeah,
because I'd do it occasionally and they'd all go, yeah, what a weird, like, of course this is brilliant. And then
maybe not that many people, like, how many people do have massages?
Well, that's another thing, is a massage,
it's quite a, again, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you have massages,
yeah, you go for massages, do you? Oh, luxury.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing that you go, look, this is maybe that is, you know, it's not a reference point that many people have.
Yeah,
like maybe I should just do, you know, those gigs that are at Soho House and all those, I'll just leave that piece of material for those gigs.
Yeah,
so you know they're all privileged.
I mean, yeah, I think there must be a way of doing it. It's one of those you just got to keep cracking.
I think,
it.
Yeah, and I what I do is I put it on hold. So I tried it when I was previewing my new show and it sort of didn't quite work. So I've left it now and I'll come back to it in like a year.
I always get annoyed when they talk to me in the massage because it's like they're hairdressers. They feel like they need to talk. Whereas you saying that but I feel rude by going,
can I just,
this is, because my, like with me, like I'm, it's a, I said it, I don't know if I said it on, I think I said it on the podcast with Rob Beckett. I was like, it's a fucking disease. Just constantly thinking of jokes all the time. I can't switch off.
Yeah.
So that, when I have a massage, all I want is a massage and not, and just to be able to totally relax, no talking. But I feel really rude going, do you mind if we don't talk? So I never do say
that. I think there's so many places where you want to say that to people. Yeah. Like I find for me the places where I really like to relax are on planes and on trains.
Right.
Because I really like to sit and read a book or something like that. Mm. And then you sit next to someone who wants a bit of a chat.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, I just don't want to go, look, like, I don't get a lot of time to sit and read a book. Mm. Can you just leave me alone for the next 2 hours, please?
And that's rude. Then you're an asshole.
It's really rude, even though, like, it isn't rude at all, because you just, you're not signed a contract to say you're here for a chat.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just find it, like before, I've been in a bar before. This was in America, actually, which everyone chats to everyone. And I've been reading a book, and someone's going, hey, what are you reading there, buddy? And you're just like, well, I'm not reading it now, am I? So like, yeah, that really winds me up. So I think in massages, yeah, that's such a thing that you're just like, can you just leave me alone?
Should I tell you a top tip for not having people sit next to you on the train?
Go on.
Do your Edinburgh show, last day of the run. Grab all your stuff, stick it in your bag, go straight to the station. But just before you realise you're going to the station, discover that there's some shit smeared on your rucksack. And proper shit. So almost as if a human has done it, and then try and wash it off and try and scrub it off, because you haven't got time to take your stuff out your bag because you've got to get to your train station, and then just smell like shit for the whole journey to where you're going. Try that.
Did you do that this year?
Yeah, that happened this year.
And no one sat next to you?
No one sat next to me. I'm so glad they didn't. I felt so awkward because you didn't get an instant whiff. But every so often, I just get this whiff. I'm like, I fucking wash this off. And you just can't. I've been in the bag, but but I couldn't. I didn't have time because I had a train booked.
You had to get on it.
Oh, it was. But so basically, I put my bag down in the little, like, it's the best venue in Edinburgh ever. And from my flat to the gig, I didn't put my bag down anywhere. There's no shit in my flat where I'm staying. So it was either human or dog. But I put my bag down.
Let's just hope it's dog.
I put my bag down in the venue, in the side room that everybody used. There's not been a dog. I'm sure there's never been a dog in that room. But there's lots of people. Honestly, it's fucking, I've got absolutely no idea. But it wasn't.
How much shit was on it?
It was a smear, as if someone's gone, there you go.
All right, Mark Simmons, enjoy your train home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is bad.
But why would someone do that to me?
I don't know, because you're
convinced someone's
you're one of
done
the nicest people in comedy as well.
Maybe that's what they don't like.
Yeah, I mean, there was probably someone out there that's like, God, that Mark
Unless
Simmons.
They got the wrong bag. But who does it? Who goes?
Who else was on in your venue that they might have done?
Oh, there was loads of people in my venue. I mean, I don't really want to go into who it could be, because there are,
who
I mean,
they intended to get.
But they would commit, but there must be a commit, must be a someone. No one went in there unless it's a comedian, and who brings shit with them?
Like, that's so weird, isn't it?
It is weird, but I can't. And like, because I had the bag on my back, so unless there was shit on a wall and I brushed against it, but who put shit on it? Well, I think I had lots of comics are throwing shit at the wall. It's a good joke.
God, this is really annoying me now. I'm trying to think how this could have happened. What about, like, it might have just, you never know. That, like, Edinburgh, there's quite a lot of weird people. So maybe you just walked along and they just thought, just wipe my hand on there.
Maybe.
Or, like, maybe someone's gone to the loo. And this isn't like...
I started getting a whiff after I brought the bag out of that room and into my venue where I was going to do my gig. But I kept looking at my shoes and I kept thinking, I can smell shit somewhere. This is disgusting.
It's horrible when you smell poo somewhere, though, and you're just like, I don't know where it is. I can't find it on my shoes, but I've definitely got poo on me.
Check your bag.
Man, that's so bad.
Yeah.
See, I've got a leather backpack, wiped clean. That's where you've gone wrong.
So if you wiped it off of there...
You just get a wet wipe and just do it.
And the smell would go.
Yeah,
so it's because it goes into the fabric, is it?
Yeah, I think probably.
Yeah, Danny Ward was there. I don't think he did it. He said to me, before I going to my training, he was like, you guys got to bin the bag because you'll never get rid of the smell. But I couldn't bin the bag because everyone was in it.
Oh my God.
I know. It was I was just a stinky.
Did you not leave it at the end of the carriage?
The chain. No, no. There was something valuable in it. So I didn't want my laptop.
Like, how mysterious that is. That's like I'm not going to tell you what Doctor Who it is. There was something valuable in the bag. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but there's something valuable.
I think it's my laptop.
That's really
so
funny.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, it's a fun story.
Matt Richardson!
Awooga!
Hashtag awooga to Matt Richardson.
When do we start making merch?
Lovely episode.
We can't make merch with awooga on it, can we?
Well, what if we spell it differently?
I wonder if
what if we have an extra O?
Very good.
Awooga.
Nice.
But we got to start saying it like that. Hashtag awooga. Surely that's not a thing. That's ours.
Yeah, because it was invented before the hashtag.
Yeah, yeah. Hashtag awooga.
They didn't future-proof the awooga.
No. Here we go. Yeah, that's ours, mate. Mark Simmons, pocket. No, jokes with Mark, merch. Tweet in if you buy it. No one's going to buy that. At jokes with Mark. Any feedback from the episode? Any of your Mickey Flanagan scandal headlines?
Yes, please.
And hashtag him in it. No, at him in it.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Right, okay, it'll either be, he'll be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And like, that could be like, he might not like it, but he's a comedian, so I'm assuming he's got a sense of humour.
Good. Yeah,
he's
good
a very funny man.
He is.
He's a very good stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd find that funny.
Yeah.
Unless he is having an affair with someone, and then that might...
Maybe
might
he does
panic.
Keep eating custard tarts.
Maybe he panics. But let's do that.
So, good-o.
Headlines.
Yeah.
Great. Any feedback for the episode?
Mm-hmm.
At Jokes with Mark.
Yeah.
Reviews. If you can be bothered, please go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Does that sound convincing?
I was convinced. I'm going to go and do it now.
You've already done it, Joel.
Yeah, with two different email addresses.
Anything else, Joel? Next week.
Oh, yeah.
What do we want to do next week? We've got Chris Stokes recorded.
Yep.
But we've also got some Edinburgh ones. So maybe we should put out an Edinburgh one before Chris Stokes.
Okay.
Thomas Green?
Cool.
I think I sent you that one.
Yeah, somewhere.
I remember it.
It's in the archives. It's in the Mark Simmons archives.
It's not in the archives. In the archives is one that we've released. That's what we call the archive.
You're suggesting unreleased material couldn't be in the archive?
Well, it's not in the archive. So normally if
it,
I say,
what's it in before
the
archive? Archives,
that means our audience, you guys
out there. Yeah, true. Very true.
Can look, but they can't look in on my SD card.
That'd be a fun treat.
Yeah. Oh, God, no. God. I'll be finished. Anyway, so, is that it?
Yep.
Is there anything else to say?
Nope.
Thanks for tuning in. Hashtag.
I will get.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.